baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Good morning and welcome to the walk-off, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. It is Friday, and we have all sorts of great stuff to go over here.
What's the new one the Blue Jays do? They do like the pirate thing?
That's right. The Blue Jays officially in the playoffs after a loss last night by the Baltimore Orioles. The Red Sox coming up big for us in the afternoon. J.D. DeMartinez with that game-winning home run. I've never liked J.D. Martinez more than I did yesterday. I'll tell you that much.
It's weird cheering for guys on other teams. I was doing the same thing watching the Mariners game. I was cheering for Marcus Semien all over again.
Yeah, right?
He did get two home runs, but they came up short. So
yes, they did. The Mariners getting very close. We're going to get into all of that. I do have some stuff to tease here. We've got a big week coming up. And let's start with Long Toss on Sunday. We have friend of the show and comedian, very funny, Sean LeCombe joining us. We've got Anthony Telford returning to the show. Of course, some of you might remember him from his Montreal Expos days. He was in the bullpen with the Spos and has been very generous with his time here on the walk-off. He, of course, is the off-season pitching coach of Nate Pearson. So we'll pick his brain on Nate. We'll talk baseball with him. And we also probably, fingers crossed, have Mitch Bannon of Sports Illustrated. And then on top of that, Craig Ballard coming back to the show. So we've got a heck of a long toss. But buddy, that's not even the biggest news we have for this week. Monday, we sit down with Sportsnet's Ben Nicholson-Smith. He's making time for us right before the playoffs, which very generous of him. Awesome. We've been bugging Ben. I've been bugging Ben literally all season. He even messaged me back the other day. He's like, if anything, you guys are persistent. He's like, so I can definitely give you guys 25, 30 minutes on Monday. So that's pretty cool. Ben Nicholson-Smith, of course, from At the Letters, and just really one of the best Blue Jays analysts out there, in my opinion. So excited to have him back on the show. All right, everybody, you can follow us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, on Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. And of course, you can join our Discord. That is free. The link for the Discord is in the show notes. Easy to follow. And then you're just going to be joining close to 200 rabid Jays fans constantly talking Blue Jays and baseball in there. Adam and I are active in there, but it is definitely not us driving the bus, which is very cool. All right, gang, lots to talk about. Blue Jays clinch thanks to that Orioles loss last night. We're going to get into some of the ups and downs of this very roller coaster of a 2022 Blue Jays season. The Mariners magic number is down to one. How long has it been since Seattle has been to the playoffs? Well, we're going to have some fun with it, and I've got some stats for you. With the wild card race basically down to seeding, we'll talk playoff scenarios and how the Jays could wind up in that home field with home field advantage. Things are in their hands, to say the least. Aaron Judge doing incredible things. We'll check in on the Triple Crown race. He is 1 point behind Luis Arraez now for the batting title. However, boy, oh boy, he continues to hammer home runs. Of course, we watched him tie Roger Maris against the Blue Jays in that final game of the series on Wednesday. And we'll also talk the insanity and double standard of Yankees fans thinking every baseball fan on the planet should be celebrating everything Aaron Judge does. Francisco Alvarez. Remember that name. He currently is the number one prospect in baseball. He looks like he's going to get a call up from the New York Mets this weekend. We'll touch on him. And Shohei Ohtani just misses a no-hitter the other day. So our question is the MVP race already decided? Is Aaron Judge automatically the winner as Shohei continues to do absolutely incredible things? So let's get into it. Buddy, maybe not the way Blue Jays fans drew up the clinch, probably not how the organization wanted the playoff clinch to go. But nonetheless, it is not easy to clinch a playoff spot coming out of the AL East, probably the most difficult division to do it in. And yesterday, it is official, the Toronto Blue Jays going back to the playoffs, baby.
I mean, expanded playoffs helped. Didn't hurt my feelings at all when they announced expanded playoffs this year, being an AL East fan.
No, and that's a very good point. That said, let's not discount how good this Blue Jays team is. They are reaching the playoffs because of an offense that leads the American League in batting average, in on-base percentage, and OPS. Something no Jays offense has ever done, not even in 1993 with that World Series team. So this is a highly touted offense. Mm-hmm. And they should be. I know that sometimes as Jays fans, we go through the rigors of the season, and sometimes it's easy to shine a negative light on some of the things and the weaknesses that you see day in and day out. But don't forget, every team has weaknesses. Every team goes through ups and downs, and this Blue Jays team is no different. And they've had a heck of a September. Maybe not the last 10 games, but September in general has been pretty incredible. Couple things too to look at here is, and this stood out to me. So lowest single month ERAs in Blue Jays franchise history. Number one was Roger Clemens in July of 97. He won the Cy Young that year. It was a 0.89 ERA. Roger Clemens did it again in 98. He also won the Cy Young that year with 0.90. Hyunjin Ryu, and some of us forget how dominant Ryu was in that 2020 season. I know it was a shortened season, but he was incredible. We all forget even that he finished third in Cy Young voting for the AL that year. So in August of 2020, he had a 0.96 ERA, but in at number four, our September stud, the pseudo ace of this staff, Alek Manoah, pitched to a 1.03 ERA this month in September. And that's with a minimum of five starts. Those
that's
stats.
The fourth best month start in Blue Jays history?
Yes.
And he did it in September?
And he did it in September.
It's a pretty good time of year to be on your game, I would say.
It really is, man. The guy has been nothing but nails this month.
Yeah. Do you think we see him in game 162?
No.
Even if home field's on the line, do you think that was all big bluff from John Schneider?
If home field is on the line and the tiebreakers won't play into it. So let's say the Jays are one game up. Then we might see it. Because both Seattle and Tampa Bay have those tiebreakers. So if they do finish with identical records, home field advantage would go to either the Rays or the Mariners, not the Blue Jays. I do feel home field advantage is incredibly important. I know you were talking about this just before we hit record, that you're feeling good about home field and anybody we need to play there. Do you think they put their chips in if they need to?
Yeah, I still maintain, ever since this John Schneider comment first came out and we looked at it, and that would mean he doesn't pitch in the wild card series and how devastating that would be. As soon as my brain looked at that positive spin of, okay, we don't get him in the wild card series, but we get him twice against the Astros. I like that.
Yeah, maybe. Like, yes. And you know what? Kevin Gausman, I have full confidence in him.
Gausman and Stripling, man. We don't need a third pitcher. Like, you know, that's a potential two games and we're done. Take a day off and then come back with Manoah in game one against the Astros. Like, I love that idea.
I mean, there's going to be a day off before you start the wild card series. I think chips down, we could even see Manoah game three of the wild card.
Yeah, probably. That would be...
They may go with Jose Berríos. There is a lot of reasons why they could do that. I mean, I feel I would prefer to see Manoah on short rest than I would see Berríos, but we're going to need to wait and see how that all plays out. So let's talk a little bit about the ups and downs of the season here, buddy. Because it's right. Did you have anything you wanted to say about home field advantage? I know we were talking about it briefly here.
No, I do think that the Jays are front runners to get it. I mean, I spent about 20 minutes check that out in the video from last night talking about it, the upcoming schedule, the window for error on Tampa Bay has all but closed. Seattle did win an extra inning, so they do have a little bit more breathing room. But basically, it comes down to this. Blue Jays have Manoah, Stripling, Gausman, and potentially a fourth Manoah start in their next six games. I don't want to say assume, but I'm going to give the Blue Jays probable wins in those four starts. And Berríos and White, probable losses. I think 4-2 over the next six is very reasonable, regardless of where the two L's come from. But that puts the Jays at 71 losses because Tampa Bay and Seattle both have the tiebreakers on us. If they get 71, they are better than us. So Tampa Bay already has 71. They have six games remaining. So they have to win out, basically, if the Blue Jays are going to go 4-2. And they have three games in Houston against the Astros. This is an Astros team that just swept them in Tampa about a week ago. So
the Jays have really set themselves up here.
It's like, going to be tough for the Rays to do it. And I mean,
Seattle,
the Mariners
has a game in hand. Yeah.
Mariners have an extra game. So they got seven games. They can go 6-1 and still get to 71 wins and have the tiebreakers on us. Now they do have an easy schedule. It is Oakland for three and Detroit for three. All of those are in Seattle. So a nice home stretch here. But I mean, after the way this past little stretch went against the Angels, lost 3 out of 4. Against the A's, lost 2 out of 3. Against the Kansas City Royals, lost 2 out of 3. This is a team that is limping across the finish line, to say the best. Julio Rodriguez still on the IL. He's due to come back on Monday. But Mariners need to go 6-1. That is a tough task against any team.
Truly. And let's even give them a little bit of leeway here. Let's say the Jays just play 500 baseball. Let's say the Jays go 3-3. Tampa Bay still needs to go 5-1, and Seattle still needs to go 5-2 to be the ones to take home field advantage. Like, the Jays have really set themselves up nicely here. Boston is all but out of, or Boston's out of it, I should say. Baltimore is all but out of it. These teams don't have a lot to play for. And let's be serious, the final few games of the season, Baltimore has done so well, but when you're down to the final three games, you just want to end the season.
Yeah, I think,
there's all the spoiler stuff and there's all that, but like, psychologically, let's be legit, okay? These guys just want to go home to their families, put 2022 behind them and focus on next season. They're not going in gritty as all get out, ready to take down the Blue Jays in game 160. I really think that the Jays should take 2 of 3 against Red Sox, 2 of 3 against Baltimore, without it being a huge deal. I'm not saying these teams are going to roll over for us, but needing to go 5-1 for Tampa, that's a tall order.
That is, that for sure is. All right. Pivoting
ups
from there,
and downs.
Then.
Pivoting from there, I just want to go over, and this is one of the reasons why Blue Jays fans maybe don't feel as good about this season as they should, because this team is most likely going to finish with 91 or 92 wins, right on par with where they were last year. The Blue Jays have not won 90 win seasons back to back since their dynasty years in 92, 93. So this is really impressive stuff that they're doing. So a quick review. Some of us had high expectations for Yusei Kikuchi when they went out and signed him to a 3-year deal. Obviously, that was a pretty big letdown. Hyunjin Ryu, we were hoping for a bounce back season from after an injury marred to 2021 and maybe a bit of a down season for him. That didn't work out. He wound up needing to get season ending Tommy John surgery. Charlie Montoyo was fired. I mean, just these top three things is a pretty tumultuous start to any list, but it goes on from there. They had a down year from 2021 for Vladdy, big time, right? Like the expectations that we had on this young 23-year-old superstar that is the offensive engine of this Toronto Blue Jays team was massive. I mean, let's face it, man. We were doing over-unders on if he hits 50 home runs or not. He's had not a bad little season.
He got to 30,
He got to 30. He just hasn't been 2021 Vladdy. Trade deadline. Quieter for the team than maybe some of us had hoped. Maybe more than most of us had hoped, despite the moves definitely bolstering this bullpen and the bullpen kind of righting the ship and looking pretty good at the final bit of the season. Bo Bichette has gone from pedestrian and average to a top three baseball player in the league in September. Alek Manoah has solidified himself at the top of the Blue Jays starting rotation with a Cy Young caliber season. I want to just circle back on Vladdy here because friend of the show, Chris Black, pointed this out. This is one of the more eye-catching things about last year. So in 194 plate appearances in minor league stadiums, Dunedin and Buffalo, Vladdy Jr. hit 21 home runs, which accounted for 43% of his home runs last season. And that was about in a third of the season. In 11 of 96 plate appearances in Dunedin, he hit a bomb. In 10 of 98 plate appearances in Buffalo, he hit a bomb. So the shorter dimensions definitely helped. I'm not saying this is why Vladdy had such a huge 2021 season, but I think it's silly to ignore that. And maybe Vladdy is a 30 to 40 home run hitter, not a 40 to 50 home run hitter. I'll take it. It's fine.
I mean, on the one hand, yeah. On the other hand, you know, home runs offense was down across baseball this year. Also, he's what, 11 years old? Like, he has time to mature and hit his prime still. He's yes. pretty young. So to yes, think he that is. He has just peaked in terms of his power, I mean,
you ask Yankee fans and he's already peaked. He's a fatty who just isn't Aaron Judge. But we'll get into my dislike of Yankees fans recently. But you make a really good point, man. Like if you look at most guys' prime, Francisco Lindor, right? 28 years old, having a career season right now. Like these guys that are young, baseball has skewed so young in the last decade. And they have, well, you'll see guys have a big season at 22, 23. And then in 28, at age 28, have an incredible season. And you're like, oh, yeah. I forgot. The prime of most guys is that 27, 28, 29 season, right?
Yeah. Lots to like about what Vladdy's done. Can I talk a little bit of love for Mr. Matt Chapman? Because
please.
Just watching the Mariners Rangers game yesterday and seeing Marcus Semien hit two home runs. And I mean, we talked about this a little while ago, but Marcus Semien didn't hit his first home run until
May 27th.
I was gonna say the All-Star break, but yeah, it was like mid-May. But you know, the first 2 months of the season was that like the narrative out of Texas was really quite concerning, right? Hadn't hit a home run yet. You know, we're 2 full months into the season now. Since he got his first one, though, he's got 26 home runs. Very impressive. This season, however, Matt Chapman has 27 home runs. I mean, mm-hmm. I said he could fit into this lineup and bring 30 home run potential to this lineup. He's not going to get there. He's not going to get to 30. but
famous last words.
I hope I'm reverse jinxing. Right? Yeah. Really, really hope so. But like, he's second on the team in home runs right now. I'm looking at the list, right? It's Vladdy with 30, Matt Chapman with 27. You know, you scale that 26. Up to,
yeah.
I mean, I'm thrilled with Matt Chapman in this lineup. The batting average, again, was really scary in the first month or two of the year. He was hitting, I think, a few points below 200. It's up to 231 right now.
Yeah. Like, he looks good. His OPS is solid. He's a guy who's going to, he's a guy who has solidified the left side of that infield, which was in 2021, the Blue Jays' biggest Achilles heel. Was that third base position. And he's been absolutely unbelievable, man.
So the Blue Jays bought out his arb years before the season started, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have him for next season. We have him for the year after. And then he's a free agent. Do you see an extension coming for Matt Chapman before then? Or is this,
let's play it out? I want an extension. I want an extension. I do not wish to see him go to free agency in 2024. Personally, I think that they're,
so we have him on the books for two more years. How many years do you want to commit to Matt Chapman? 4 years?
Do they have him on the books for two more years? I thought it was just next year he's a free agent.
I'm pretty sure. I'll look this up. You talk.
Yeah, just double check for me. Yeah, no, just double check for me. Irrelevant though. I mean, it is. I shouldn't say that. It's obviously relevant. However, it doesn't change my opinion that they should absolutely be negotiating with him an extension. I think that he's one of those guys that you can get without needing to give all sorts of term, right? I think you can lock him up for 4 years.
Okay, you are right. It is next year we have him, and then the year after he is a free agent. So he's going into the final year of his contract this offseason.
I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, Adam, where you look at the Blue Jays farm system, and there's not really, especially after trading Jordan Groshans in that Anthony Bass and Zach Pop trade at the deadline, there isn't really anyone pushing this team to open up a spot at third base. I love Aroldis Martinez. He's young. And he has some big holes in his game that need to be addressed before he is promoted even to AAA, I think. I think that they're going to start him at AA again next year. I'm not saying that he won't get the call up to AAA at some point in 2023. However, Aroldis Martinez has struggled with plate discipline, as a lot of 22-year-olds do. He has struggled with his on-base percentage, as a lot of 22-year-olds do. So I think there's a lot of room to grow there for Aroldis Martinez. Go ahead, Adam.
What position is that that left-handed kid? Addison Barger. Barger? Is it a soft G?
Yeah. Addison Barger plays short. He plays some third. He plays some outfield.
Really, burst onto the scene towards the end of the year. Hey, kind of under the very radar until I've just been recently hearing his name thrown about a lot in the last month, I would say. So
23 years old.
He's 20. Well,
22 is he? Okay.
Yeah, it says 22 here. 6 foot, play shortstop, bats left, throws right. 308 batting average this year, 26 home runs, 933 OPS, and 9 stolen bases. That is across a few different, I think most of that was in AA, though. Let me just double check that.
It was. He recently was called up to AAA, although he has hit a couple bombs in AAA already. The kid's got skills.
Okay, so looks like he started the season in Vancouver, 14 home runs there, got promoted to AA, played 47 games, hit 9 home runs. He's played now 8 games in AAA, has 3 home runs. 3 home runs in 8 games at AAA. That is very encouraging. I mean,
yes, it is.
Wicked small sample size, I will admit that. But very nice. Addison Barger, that is someone who we are going to have to blow up his DMs and try and get him on the show.
Oh, I have been.
Okay, you're on it, Scott. You're on
it. I've been messaging him since last year, but I don't know. I know that Chris Black was talking to him. So I was thinking of maybe bugging Chris and seeing if he can give us an email or something where we can
slide into the DMs for sure.
Slide into the right DMs. That's right.
Cool.
That said, man, Matt Chapman is 29 years old. I would take Matt Chapman's age 29, 30, 31, and 32 season at $15 to $20 million a season over rolling the dice on a prospect every single time. I really do believe that they should be trying to extend this man in the off season. You?
Yeah, it's too risky for me to put a playoff team in the middle of their window and just put a vacuum at third base, just an absolute hole out there of mystery. Like, unless we go out and we get a Carlos Correa and we can convert him to third base or something, but I don't think.
Also, let's be serious. There is a question mark at second base. I love Santiago Espinal. I love Kevin Biggio. I'm even a pretty big I'm a pretty big fan of this Addy Barger. I think that he does have all sorts of potential. He plays a good shortstop. He plays multiple positions. If he is pushing this organization to find a spot for his bat in this lineup, it is absolutely doable. You can move Bo Bichette from short to second, or you can move Santi, put him on the bench and see if Addy can take his job. You know, like, there are options. He plays left field. He's a lefty bat. Lourdes and Teo have the possibility of maybe being moved in the offseason with only 1 year left on each of their contract. There is room for this kid to maybe make a splash with the team come 2023. I don't think we need to pigeonhole him at third base just because Matt Chapman is possibly leaving in the 2024 offseason.
Do you think Santiago Espinal has a long-term future with this Blue Jays team?
No. Do you?
I love Espinal. I love him this year. We don't have to get too lost in the weeds here as we wrap up the ups and downs section of this podcast, but we've talked before about a potential significant shakeup of this roster construction in the offseason. I wouldn't be shocked if Santiago Espinal was one of the pieces that gets moved. I think he's young. He's got a lot of control left.
Mm-hmm.
Was an all-star this year. I think for any like young, low-budget team on the rebuild, there's a lot of appeal to Santiago Espinal.
Agreed.
So, okay, also, we do have a little bit of a redundancy there with that right side of the infield between Whit Merrifield, Kevin Biggio, potentially Bo Bichette.
True.
So, all right, shall we move on from there?
I want to talk Seattle Mariners because their magic number after that comeback win yesterday against the Texas Rangers is now at 1. They are all but playoff bound, needing only 1 win or 1 Baltimore loss in the next 6 games. It's happening. There's no way the Mariners are not going to the playoffs. So the last time the Seattle Mariners were in the playoffs, there were 5,273 blockbuster videos in operation in North America.
I love where you're going with this.
Zac Efron was 13 years old. Beyonce was still just the hot one in Destiny's Child. Napster was being accused of ruining the music industry.
Oh, that hasn't aged well.
I was in my first year of college. Long story short, the North American sports franchise going through the longest current playoff drought is about to finally end. A big congratulations to all of the Mariners fans out there. I know how hard it is to be a fan of a team and go through the ebbs and flows of a season, the ups and downs, and never get the satisfaction of watching a playoff game, it is soul sucking. It is just heart wrenching. Us Blue Jays fans, we were that team that had the longest playoff drought before the 2015 playoffs. We know, we relate, we understand. So a big congratulations due to the Seattle Mariners. It has been a long haul. I know that it's not official yet, but let's be serious. It's pretty much official. So yeah, a little tip of the hat to our Mariners fans to the West.
Congrats to the Mariners. You got some nice young talent coming up. So a lot of reason to be an excited Mariners fan.
A great pitching staff, some long-term contracts there. Robbie Ray and Luis Castillo are going to be
cornerstones.
Cornerstones of that starting staff for years to come. Long time coming, but good on them.
Very cool. Well done, Seattle. Wish you all the best, but not this year.
Not against the Jays. Yes. We draw the line somewhere.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk Aaron Judge, because my God, the man is having himself a historic season. He tied Roger Maris on Wednesday for the most home runs ever in the American League with 61. I know Yankees fans can't wait to talk about how it's the actual record. Well, I mean, let's not jump off the deep end here. Barry Bonds hit 73. Mark McGwire hit 70. Sammy Sosa hit 66. I know you can get on your soapbox and scream about cheating like there were never steroid guys on the Yankees winning World Series in 98, 99, and, you know, their dynasty years. You know, they love to play this double-edged sword game where what goes for everyone else doesn't need to go for them. And don't get me wrong, I'm not even shit-talking Aaron Judge. He's been absolutely incredible. What he's doing is, as a baseball fan, one of the coolest things we have gotten to witness in my lifetime. It's freaking awesome.
It is.
He's chasing down an MVP. He's chasing down a triple crown, dude.
Yeah. I just want to address the conversation that is out there on, you know, what is the true number of, you know, the home run record and all this stuff. And, you know, obviously, it's Barry Bonds with 73. And yeah, again, steroids are bad and whatever, right? But I think I heard it on Blair and Barker. I think Jeff Blair put it in a way that really, for me, ended all like arguments. And it was, baseball has such a complicated and not always admirable history.
True.
So with the issues of like the color barrier.
Yes. And
all of the rest. Like, it's just, if you want to get into the moral issue of steroids, like, there are bigger issues at play than, you know, in terms of historical records and everything like this. So I just think that, yeah, baseball doesn't exactly have a clean record from a morals standpoint. You know, nobody in the world really does. So to nitpick this one issue and
ignore everything else, and it's a little delusional. It's a little delusional.
Absolutely. So
I think it is far more accurate to say that Babe Ruth's home run are less legitimate because there weren't black players playing.
Agreed. And it's just, at what point do you draw, like, the line? Like, it's just, it's weird. So all we can do is go with the numbers we actually have. Nobody likes Barry Bonds, but he still has the record. Deal with it.
And I'm not comparing amphetamines and little greenies. A lot of you probably remember the 70s, where literally every clubhouse had bowls full of pretty much caffeine pills and like stimulants to get you riled up and going. I'm not comparing those to steroids, but I mean, that's a gray area too, right? Like, there are discrepancies throughout baseball's history with cheating. And to just single out the steroid era, which, again, we talk about this all the time, Adam, pitchers were also juiced. Like,
well, and then even just like the stupid argument of steroids, I could go off and on and on about this, but it's like, do you know what, when you're comparing historical records from literally 100 years ago, and you look at like the science of physical training that yes. Aaron Judge gets to experience, and the diet and the legal supplements that he's able to take, vitamin C as a supplement or whatever, right? Like, you know what the pregame meal was for Babe Ruth? It was probably like a bucket of fried chicken and a pack of smokes.
Yeah.
Right? So there's an advantage there, right?
Like, there's a reason there are different eras. And I know that as humans, we like to just look at the big picture and act like all of it is the same, but it's not. And so to just discount Barry Bonds' 73 home runs because it suits your narrative that Aaron Judge is the greatest player ever, it's silly, in my opinion.
Hilarious.
And another thing that's driving me nuts about Yankees fans right now, while we're watching this historic season from Aaron Judge, is this sentiment that everyone in baseball should be celebrating it. Listen, I'm enjoying watching Aaron Judge do what he's doing. Do I hope Aaron Judge hits 62 home runs? No, and I'm allowed to not hope that. Like, we all have to get on board with Yankees now. Like, this is the way it has to be. We've all got to root on the Yankees' biggest offensive threat. Like, I wasn't cheering against him when he hit number 61 in Toronto. I was like, this is pretty cool. I'm witnessing history. If I was at the game, would have I stood up and clapped? Yeah, because I respect what he did. Am I ever going to clap for Aaron Judge again? Absolutely freaking not. Like,
oh, man. I heard, and yes, kudos to what Aaron Judge has done this season. 61, potentially 62 or 63. Phenomenal achievement. Records bedamned, jersey bedamned. I get it. Here is a question that I heard Jeff Passan talking about. Aaron Judge, is he a great hitter, or is this a great hitting season? And do you think Aaron Judge is a Hall of Famer at this point in his career?
Yeah, he probably is a Hall of Famer. Where do you stand on that? I mean, if he breaks this record, he's got to go, right?
Well, okay. So that's kind of how I felt about it, too. Points Jeff Passan made was that his career numbers aren't that out They're of not this that world. Good. No. I mean, 219 home runs as of today. He's 30 years old. So if we give him...
Vladdy will have more by the time he's 30. I'll tell you that right now.
Of course. If he plays till he's 40 and he adds another 200 home runs, that's still only 419. That doesn't scream Hall of Fame. Roger Maris, not a Hall of Famer.
Interesting. You know what? No. I'm going to go no now. Aaron Judge is not a Hall of Famer. Eat it, Yankees fans. No.
I'm clipping that. That is going at the front of every episode. So
just set me up for all sorts of DM hate from Yankees fans.
I love it. That is at Scott Belford on Twitter. Oh, man.
Anything else to touch on Aaron Judge-wise?
No, that's about it.
He is chasing down the Triple Crown. Luis Arraez put up some hits last night, so he is now 1 point above Aaron Judge in that batting title race. The only race that still exists, Aaron Judge walking away with the home run and the RBI race. I wanted to talk the Mets for a second here, because the New York Mets are doing something pretty interesting. Francisco Alvarez, if you haven't heard the name, you're probably an American League fan. I mean, we're Blue Jays focused. You probably haven't heard of him. If you have, good on you. you're in the baseball weeds and you're a nerd like me. Francisco Alvarez, though, 20-year-old power hitting prodigy. He draws comparisons to Mike Piazza, is what, now, of course, that's what Mets are always going to compare their top prospects to, is Mike Piazza. He's currently the number one prospect in baseball, and he's going to make his debut most likely. It's not official, but most likely tonight. The Mets plan to call up Alvarez tonight against Atlanta. And the reason they're doing this is the kid has hit 27 home runs over 112 games between AA and AAA. So it definitely adds a power bat to this lineup. He's hitting 260 between AA and AAA. So his batting average is what a power hitter's batting average is. I'm excited to see this kid play.
Okay.
He's been the talk of baseball for about 2 months now. He's putting up big time power numbers in the minor leagues. I think it's cool that they're bringing him up at the end of the season. He won't be able to play on their playoff roster, but still, to give him a little bit of a sniff in the final few series of the final two series of the year, all the best to him. And it's the Mets and the National League. So freaking do what you do. I don't care. It doesn't affect us at all.
Very cool. With that in mind, as far as top prospects go, Blue Jays fans are familiar with top prospects. And I just want to remind everybody in Blue Jays Nation how fortunate we are that even when Bo Bichette airmails one into the dugout, for the most part, he has panned out. Vladdy having a down season has panned out. Not every top prospect pans out. Looking back at Seattle, Jared Kelenic was one of the top prospects in baseball. He is back with the Mariners right now after making his MLB debut last year. It was a very tumultuous first season. All the love and all the hype for Jared Kelenic seems to be out the window now, as Julio Rodriguez is the man.
Yes, in Seattle.
But Jared Kelenic was the number four prospect in all of baseball last year. He has a career batting average now of 174. So,
wow.
I mean, it's way too early to call him a bust. Oh. I'm saying don't go anywhere near that word, but it is definitely been a struggle. And I wanted to frame it in a way that, like, we remind ourselves that, like, Bo Bichette also is a child.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a guy with 100 doubles this year. I know that's not quite 100, but Bo Bichette is elite by...
Yes, he is.
All accounts. Super young. So any frustration you have for Bo Bichette is understandable. But remind yourself that, like, we're still...
He's younger than Adley Rutschman. Yes.
We're pretty freaking fortunate in Toronto that the hype of these kids has... pretty much
for the most part panned out.
So
yeah. All right, my man, let's end on Shohei Ohtani. We don't need to go too into the weeds on this one, but I did wish your opinion. He pitched into the eighth a no hitter last night against the Athletics. He has been, I mean, honestly, he is hands down the MVP if Aaron Judge isn't doing what he's doing. Do you think there's any way that Shohei still has a chance at the MVP this season? Or do you think it is a foregone conclusion that Aaron Judge is the MVP?
I don't know what Shohei Ohtani could do over this last week. I know he just had the no-hit bid. He would have to throw like two perfect games and hit 10 home runs. And even then, I don't think it's enough.
Yeah. No, I have to agree. I personally think that he should be right there with Aaron Judge. I think that this vote is probably going to be closer than Yankees fans would like it to be. But how often do you see a record-breaking season when it comes to home runs? The long ball, man, it reigns supreme, right? Like, I whenever I think about this, I always think about that commercial from the mid-90s with Smoltz and Maddox and the stud pitchers from the Braves era. And this was right in the midst of the steroid era, right? And they're showing the commercial is just Mark McGwire hitting bombs and all the girls being like, oh my, and chicks dig the long balls. And then all of a sudden Maddox is like, hey, we got Cy Young winners over here, right? And then they decide that they're going to be hitters and like they'll get all the attention. But no, I think it's a foregone conclusion with how many bombs Aaron Judge is hitting in this record-breaking season. I think it's all but over.
Yeah, phenomenal season from both players. Probably going to be Aaron Judge. I would put money on it if I had any, but I don't. So, all right. Anything else you want to add here? Heck of a season to Shohei. Congratulations on playing for the LA Angels. I hope you're out of there soon.
Yes, we all do.
With the Dodgers or the Yankees. Anything else to add? We do have a few comments in chat. Should I get to those? Well, now if you say no, now you're an asshole, so I better.
I know. I've got to go.
I know you've got to go.
Let's do one.
We'll skim through these. All right, let's rip through this quick. Sorry to put you on the spot, Scott. I knew you were going to, and I'm a monster, so... Here's one from Alex Bailey says, love you too. Thanks for filling my daily/weekly dose of Blue Jays analysis and breakdowns. You guys are going places and this team will be together for a while. And I'm very happy you two will as well. So what a lovely comment to end on.
Yes.
So, there you go. All right. Thanks everybody for tuning in on the live stream here. And we'll
big long toss on Sunday.
Big
Ben long Nicholson toss. Smith on Monday. We'll see you all very shortly. Enjoy your weekend. Go Blue Jays, go.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Oscar with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.